It's the Talkover Podcast, DJ Double, DJ CB in the building.
What's crack?
So, first things first, yeah? Forest app. Let's talk about this. Man. Now, I need to make this very, very clear to everyone listening. This is not an ad. This is not a paid ad. This is a fully fledged, wholehearted endorsement of the greatest app ever invented. CB put me onto this, yeah, and basically, like, long story short, it's an app that shuts off all the shit apps that you don't want to be wasting your time on and gives you something productive, like gives you productive time closed off on your phone. Like, it's sick, bruv.
Oh, mate, do you know what? I actually think it's changed my life. And I know that's extreme to say, but it's actually mad how much you can get done when you use that app.
Yeah.
So should we try and explain to people? Because obviously not an, we just said Forest app. No one actually knows what they are.
No, I'm like, look, go and do your own fucking research. Yeah, I mean, you're going to explain it better than me because my excitement just takes me off on a wild. Every time I've tried to explain this app to someone, it just sounds like a toy for children. So and they're like, the fuck do you mean planting seeds and growing? Like, what are you on about? So yeah, you explain it, please.
All right. So basically, it's an app where, so how do I explain it? So say, for example, you want to focus. So say, for example, you've got a bit of work you want to do, but you're constantly distracted by your phone. You can go onto this app. It's easy to, like, literally you press the Forest button app and it comes up with your window where it allows you to select a tree. Sounds stupid, right? So you select a tree that you want. You can have palm tree, you can have whatever tree you want, and you select a time. So say, for example, you want to focus for an hour. You set the timer at an hour, you set your tree, and you press plant. When you press plant, it plants a seed, right? And in that hour, a tree is growing in the background. But during that time, all your apps are shut off. So you can't even go on WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter, anything. And if you try to go on any of these apps, it will come up with a warning message saying, are you sure you want to destroy this tree? So if you was to go on WhatsApp, you'll destroy the tree and your tree doesn't plant. Sounds stupid, but it is the most motivational thing ever.
Trust me.
And
to add to that, you can actually set certain apps that you allow. So for example, like in my scenario, I allow calls, messages and WhatsApp and also banking. Cause if I'm on the move, I don't use it just for work. I'm using it like for everyday stuff because I'm on social media that much. So I'm like, let me come off. So I keep WhatsApp and messages and calls open in case obviously my son needs to get hold of me when I'm on focus mode. But yeah, it's,
another one, having the music apps as well. That's important.
Oh, Spotify as well. Yeah.
Spotify.
So there's another application for it. I actually use it also at the gym.
Yeah.
Because what I was finding is I'm going to the gym. I'm sitting down to do like an hour long circuit. And it's taking me an hour and a half or an hour and 45 minutes because in between each set, I'm opening my phone as everyone does. And using my recovery time, I'm just on Instagram, just looking through, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now 8 minutes have gone past and I'm still on Instagram. Like, no, I need to get back to the weights. But eight minutes have gone. Do you know what I mean? Whereas now I set an hour long timer, plant the seed there. Boom. Everything's locked apart from Spotify.
Yeah.
And actually my timer, because I have a certain timer that I use as well. So for when I'm in the gym, they're the two things that I can open. Everything else is locked. So Spotify is open. Instagram won't open. None of the other social media stuff. Nothing else. Like, I'm getting the gym sessions done, man. Like, I'm getting stuff done like quicker than before. It's sick.
That's what I'm saying. It's so good. Obviously, you can tailor it for yourself in it. Because I think the first week I had it, I planted a seed and then I'd go to the gym and I couldn't put any music on. So you're like, okay, next time, next time I'm going to make sure I allow this. So after about a week or so, you kind of cater it for yourself. And then, yeah, whenever you need to focus, even driving, I know Double, you're going to talk about this one as well. Even driving, like just turning it on is just so important because I don't know. I'm not like, oh, so sometimes you might just, you might be sat in traffic and you might just have a little scroll on Instagram.
Bruv, exactly that.
Yeah. Dangerous, right? So using the Forest app, even when you're driving to and from your DJ sets, is really important. Like, you can use it to focus and listen to new albums, maybe. You can just keep the, you can stop scrolling through Instagram in traffic and just put like a Drake album on or something and just focus and listen to that. And when you get to your destination, your phone will unlock. You can text whoever you need to text. Because I think the problem is, like, a lot of DJs, well, I'm going to say a lot of people, but I'm going to say a lot of DJs because obviously for the podcast, a lot of DJs have a lot of FOMO. So they feel like if they don't go on their phone during this hour, they're going to miss out.
100%.
That's why, like, even when you're driving, you might check WhatsApp. Like, someone might message you and you might be like, it might be really urgent, but it's not. If someone messages you, yeah, it's not actually urgent. A phone call is urgent.
That's it.
Yeah. A phone call is urgent. A message ain't urgent, right? So I think that's what DJs need to get in their head, yeah, because they're getting all this FOMO and they feel like they need to keep checking their phone.
Yeah. The other thing is as well, to put it in the context of DJing also, like, certain people might be like, oh yeah, but what if, like, what if a really important job pops up in the WhatsApp group that if I'm not the first two, I'm going to miss out on? I'll be real, and I say this with the utmost respect, the most important high-value jobs don't just pop up in the group chat.
Facts. Yeah.
Like, you're not missing out on that unicorn booking, that gem, that £10,000 booking that just dropped out of nowhere. Doesn't land in the group chat, guys. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't. Cool jobs do land there, don't get me wrong. Good opportunities do land there, of course. But that one thing that you're very afraid of missing doesn't land in the group chat while you're driving and your app's turned off.
Yeah, man. It's just... yeah, a lot, too many DJs have a lot of FOMO, man, and they just need to get out of their head. I get it, because obviously, especially as a new DJ as well, you want to make sure that you're there at every opportunity, innit? Like,
it's very relatable, man, and I think part of the problem is we're conditioned now to exist online as well as real life. So it's almost like, as a DJ, if you're not online, if you're not interacting, and I also find it like... one of the ways that I get put onto new music that might have slipped through my radar is watching other DJs' stories, watching other DJs' content and posts, because they might be playing, and it's happened twice this week, they might be playing songs that I've listened to and thought, I'm not really into it. I don't think it's going to run. Yeah. And then, boom, next thing in someone else's story, it's tearing up a club.
Yeah.
And like, you have those moments where it's like, shit, if I'm not online, I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss one of these songs. And it's like, no, you're not. It's cool. Because the opportunity, someone will request the song next time you're playing and you'll be like, oh, okay, cool. Let me try it. And then it will work. Or you'll see it on another DJ's story because the song's that big. Like, you're not going to miss anything by spending an hour offline.
Yeah. So, I think with that, like, discovering new music and stuff like that, I feel like DJs should have like a set hour or a set time during the week to maybe just discover new music. Like, or even in the day, like, just find yourself half an hour to go through the stories. You don't need to be on Instagram all day.
Yeah.
You don't need to.
One method I use, because I do a lot of driving, I will download stuff through the week and put them all into a folder and now use the auto import feature for Serato. Thank you. And then I have this folder full of new music that when I'm in the car, I put the auxiliary lead into my laptop, just put Serato on, and I'll just let that new music playlist play from top to bottom.
Yeah, I need to do that, you know.
And then that's an hour. If I'm driving for an hour to the club, that's an hour's worth of music listening through. And I have the cursors ready on the skip button so that I can literally just push boop, on the laptop and it skips to the next song if one that I don't like comes on.
Yeah, I need to do that, you know, because I'm struggling at the moment with... listening to new music and finding the time to listen to new music. So that's why I think I did post on Twitter today, like, how do DJs consume their music? And a lot of people have said, like, the drive.
Driving and stuff
like that. It's so important. So, like, I feel like, yeah, just a good way to consume music is, yeah, driving. But you know what? That's a good idea. But the thing is, I don't take my laptop in the car. I need to find a new way.
You can use Dropbox. You could use... I also have a USB. So, like... If I'm doing drives and I've got, like, if I'm taking my son somewhere, obviously I don't have the laptop on in the car in the front seat. He's sat in the front seat. So I have a USB just full of music. That's not what I use for new music. That's what we just have our favorite music on, and then he selects whatever. But that's another method. Just every time, just dump it onto USB. Yeah, or the best one is have a Dropbox folder that syncs to your phone, and then just Bluetooth it from your phone and just listen free. And then you can make mental notes. As DJs, I feel like a lot of the time within the first 15 to 20 seconds of a song, we know whether it's going to fit what we're doing. Sometimes we're completely wrong. I'm wrong a lot. Do you know what I mean? Like I listen to so much music that there is stuff that slips through the radar and I miss. I think that happens to all of us. I just don't think everyone admits it. And also the other thing is like hearing a new song in your car when you're sat on the M25 waiting for traffic to start moving, you hear it differently to then being in a club full of people and someone slaps it on.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because obviously you're in the club, you hear the crowd reaction as well. So your view on the tune might change because of the crowd as well. Like you might hear it because, for example, right? Do you like that Fiend tune by Travis Scott? Is it Travis Scott?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Go on.
So if you heard that in the car, right? If you know when the album dropped and I listened to that in the car, I'd be like, this is dead. But in the club, everyone's going wild. So yeah. if I was to hear it, say if I come to see you and you dropped it, I'd be like, this is going in my set.
Yeah.
And I'd start to like it. But in the car on the M25, you listen to it, you're like, you'll skip it.
Yeah, I'm going to big up DJ Sentence on this one. Yeah, I think he is like, he's probably got a Travis Scott tattoo. That's how much of a fan he is. He absolutely loves it, right? And exactly the same scenario. When I listened through the Travis album, and I heard that song, I don't even remember hearing that song. That's how much of a non-standout song it was. And I didn't really prep any of the songs from his album for my club sets. They just didn't seem to fit sonically. And then one day I've seen him play it in the club and tear the roof off, bro. Like the way he set the song up as well, like his track selection before that song must have had it just primed perfectly. And then he's dropped that song, torn the place to pieces, and that's when I'm like, rah, I'm properly asleep on that song. I need to actually put that one in the set and get into it. From that moment when I started putting it in the set, and you know, it's also about like how you structure stuff before you play new music as well. Do you know what I mean? So you can't just drop Fiend after last. Like,
oh yeah,
ain't gonna work. Like you have to get it into that zone, get the mood right, and then drop it. And dropping it ever since, and it's going off.
Yeah, I still haven't even downloaded it.
But it doesn't sound great in the car. It's not really amazing in the car. So yeah, it's funny how the different atmospheres and scenarios, like the music just lands differently.
Yeah.
Back to the forest app, real quick. It's the one thing about it is as well, like, I'm a very habitual person, and the fact that this is where I describe it, and it sounds like I'm describing like a child's toy. On the screen, you can see the forest of trees that you've grown, all these little digital trees. And now, like, I have a visual representation of all of the hours of focused time that I've spent. And what's amazing for me is, first of all, like, if I set one up now and then cancel it halfway through, it destroys the whole forest. And the other thing is, like, having that visual representation means I can look at it and I can be like, this is all hour-long sections of time where I've not been on social media. There's a very big chance that a lot of this time I would have just been on Instagram, but instead I've actually managed to do stuff, get stuff done, whether it's work related or not. I'll set it, even if I have like quality time with my son, I'm planting a seed and setting a forest up for 2 hours. Boom. Now I'll get, cause you know, you get moments where you just get distracted. Someone will message me real quick, ping. So I'll just on WhatsApp, and then out of habit, from WhatsApp to Instagram, just to quickly check my DMs to make sure no promoters have hit me up. No promoters have hit me up, cool. Now I'm scrolling. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Problem.
Yeah. And now my son's like, Dad, pass me that piece. And we're playing Lego at this point. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, oh yeah, I forgot I was playing Lego. Now I'm just lost in Instagram. Like, these moments are gone.
Yeah.
And it's because I'm setting the app up and now I'm having quality time. Or I'm setting the app up and now I'm driving somewhere safely. And if the authorities are listening, this is not an admission of guilt. I'm talking hypothetically. Hypothetically, if I was to be driving on the motorway, if I was to use Instagram while I was on the motorway, it would have been dangerous. So I just eradicate that risk now. But and also, like, video creation, content, stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm getting a lot of content done because I'm using the laptop now to make the content. And I'm putting the Forest app on so that I don't just suddenly get distracted and then boom. So yeah, it is increasing my creativity and my productivity, because my creativity isn't up because of it, but productivity is.
Yeah, certain, like, little tasks, yeah, like you, because what will happen, you'll be on your phone and you're like, I need to do this thing. Then you'll procrastinate. Then you might start the thing, but then if you're on your phone, everything just takes longer. But if you're like, okay, I want to edit this TikTok, or I want to edit this reel, I'm going to put my phone down for 20 minutes. You could probably get the task done in 15 minutes over the hour it might have taken you if you had your phone.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the amount of times, yeah, I've put the Forest app on for an hour because I think someone's going to take me an hour and I've done it 20 minutes. I'm like, damn, I don't have my phone for 40 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
but the thing is, then you go and do other stuff.
Exactly, yeah. You're like, I've got this 40 minutes now. Oh, let me go do the washing. Let me go tidy the house. And then you've done all this stuff. And now you can sit down on your phone and relax for a little bit. Because you're rewarding yourself, innit? You're rewarding yourself with a new tree on the app. But now you can reward yourself with looking on social media. And if you feel like you're strolling a bit too much, put the app on just again and go do something else.
Yeah.
And it's important. I've been using it in my DJ sets as well. Because I've been... So on a Wednesday, I DJ with DJ JR at the uni. And normally, we do half and half. He'll do warm up, I'll do warm up, or he doesn't, whatever. So before, I'd be on my phone during his warm up, and then I'd just jump on a main set. But now what I've been doing is I put in the Forest app during his set, so I can take in what he's doing, listen to what he's playing, and then I can build my set in my head. Because before, I would just be on my phone, completely forget what he's doing, then jump on my set, I'd be like, oh, what did he play? Then my set wouldn't be as good because I'd be overthinking, oh, has he played that? It's really good in a club scenario as well, because you just focus a lot more. Even during my residencies, like, you're playing 6-7 hours. If you put the Forest app on for the whole time, you're fully focused on the night. You could take them on a journey, you could take them on whatever direction you want. If you're on your phone, and I don't know, you might be playing a song, you're on your phone, you just lost all concentration of the crowd.
On
the structure.
100%. We covered this before, like going into your phone and then suddenly, and I used to do it relentlessly. Like, there would just be a moment where I just pick up my phone. Or I'll tell you one thing, there's always gateway activities that lead to me going onto my phone. And it will be someone potentially like requesting a song that I'm not onto yet. So I have notes where I write down new song requests, like if I haven't heard of them, and then I can check them out in my own time and see if it's something that I've missed. Or jumping onto Instagram to take a quick story of the club or some content of what I'm doing. And then suddenly I scroll or I'm on the DMs. And then we spoke about it before. You're out the room now, you're in your phone. And like, I do exactly the same thing, man. I start my set. If I'm doing the whole night somewhere, brother, I'm setting it for 3 hours.
Yeah. Set it for 3 hours and just...
3 hours, like, and I'm not touching my phone. And I'm enjoying my sets more since doing that as well.
Yeah, because you're going through your library and you know what? You're actually looking at the tracks properly and you're like, I haven't played that song in ages. Let me drop it. Let me listen to it. Like, because before, like, if you're on your phone... What I was doing is, if I was on my phone, I look up, I'm like, shit, the chorus is coming up now. Let me just find the next song that I know that's going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you don't have your phone on you, you're taking a lot more time to actually go into your library, and you're enjoying your sets more because you're playing more songs. You're not playing the same thing over and over every week.
Yeah, exactly that. That's something that I've enjoyed. So yeah, Forest app, it's called. Boys and girls, make sure you go and get it if you like If you feel like you need to increase, excuse me, your productivity, I highly recommend it. It has really, really helped.
I'll tell you what, though. This week, I don't know if you've seen, Doncic just dropped 2 routines. I don't know if that's not motivation for DJs to literally put their phone down and get creative and get productive with releasing routines. And I don't know, mate.
Stylus is back on it as well, you know. So
you see the new visuals.
All the big boys are coming back out with their content, lads and ladies. So you need to get your game up. I need to get my game up and get back on the content as well.
Mate,
I'm slacking with content, I can't lie. Like home-based content. You remember that TikTok list I told you about? Mm. It's up to like 156 now. Different transitions that I have ideas for.
Mm.
They're coming.
It's pause. Me, I've I've just set up back up my decks now. So I've got my CDJ. The thing is, I don't know whether to do my routines or my home stuff with my CDJs or my reins. My turntables.
What's set up there now?
CDJ 2000s.
There you go. That's your answer. That's the least amount of work. Or if you want, it depends. I think like, what do you enjoy more?
See, it's not, in my head, I wasn't thinking about what I enjoy more. I'm thinking about, because basically I want to practice a lot more. I want to get better at my scratching. And I'm like, what am I using more in the clubs?
Yeah.
Do you get it? So like, if I'm in the clubs all the time and I want to get techie with it, I should really have my club set up at home.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? So I think I'm going to play around with the CDJs for now, get a bit better with them so I can start getting a bit more techie in my club sets. Then once I've got better with certain things, then I'll put the reins back on and stuff like that. But yeah, I'll see anyway. I've got so many, like, I need to sit down and think of some new routine ideas. Like what I've started doing recently is going through my set history and seeing what tracks I've been playing in the clubs and seeing how I can better the transitions, like certain word plays, certain scratch tricks or whatever, and then just make it into a routine. So when I next go to the club, I can use them transitions.
The word plays are sick. The one thing I do think is detrimental to having like too many word play transitions is it does limit your variation of mixes. If you're just doing quite clean in out using the chorus and then mix to the next song, as long as the BPMs are in range, you can pretty much go any direction. If you're doing a lot of wordplay stuff, it makes it more complicated because you have those two songs, you know how they're going together. So like for touring DJs and people that aren't stuck in residencies, that's ideal because you're very rarely playing to the same crowd twice.
Yeah.
For a resident DJ, and you're playing every week, and now every single week you're doing your wordplay tricks and your transitions to the same people. Bro, 6 weeks in, they're going to be like, man, can you just change not? Because civilians don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. Like civilians, if you're, let me just try and think of an example. I have this one, like, it's a very, very bait one. I kind of do it in the warm-ups now, but it's One Dance into OT Bop, where Drake's little line, O-T-O-T. No. I just loop the O-T-O-T and fuck around with it and then drop it in. And everyone loves it. But actually what they love is the song. They don't love the trick because majority of people don't even understand what I'm doing with the trick. They don't even understand it is a trick.
Yeah, they just hear that O-T-O-T, I mean? Bop instrumental and they're like, oh.
People that are musically minded will be like, oh, okay, that was smooth. Like it's not the most groundbreaking thing in the world ever. But it is a cool. And I would just like to add, I do it live. but anyway, back to the point. Like majority of the civilians in the club don't give a shit. I'm doing it for me, really. It's just a fun, cool little thing I like to do. They like the song before and they like the song after. That's what matters. And that's in residencies, that's what matters, really. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, still keep the techers, but it's more tricky for resident DJs to keep the creativity up. And if you've got too many wordplays in there, your sets are just going to be the same every week. Same.
Yeah, facts.
To the same people.
Everyone's going to know what's going to come, what's going to happen in it. So, yeah.
Can I give you a hypothetical?
Go on.
So you're booked for Halloween. When you've had the conversation with the promoter, you've given them your fee. And they've been like, well, you know, it's a Tuesday night this year. It's going to be student orientated. So that fees like maybe, oh, this didn't happen to me, by the way. I'm making this up as it goes along. Just in case I'm not firing shots, not this week. So anyway, negotiating with the promoter. Oh, it's a student night, you know, it's a Tuesday. So we can't really match that fee, but we can meet you here. Here's X. And you're like, you know what? It's a Tuesday. Fuck it. It's Halloween. I'll take X. That's cool. So now you get to the club, set everything up, and the promoter comes up to you and says, right, okay, cool. In the middle of the night, we're going to do like a costume competition, and the best costume wins, and the runner-up gets X, and the winner gets XXX. And now you're like, in your head, like, what happens next?
Yeah,
because they brought you down on your fee, and they got you to a place where you're like, yeah, here's X. And now they're giving away three times your fee to someone who's dressed up like Joker.
Yeah, no. Do you know what, right? I saw this somewhere on Twitter. I saw this.
Shouts to Cable, because Cable actually put a much shorter version of the little hypothetical that I just made up.
Yeah, I think I saw a meme. I think it was a meme that I saw around it, but I don't know, you know, what I'll do. I don't know. That's just disrespect, man. That's just disrespect, because
I'm glad you said that. Carry on.
We're the one that's running the night. We're doing anything. Then someone's getting three times our fee just because they're just dressed up. They've just turned up, done nothing. Okay, they're dressed up, but they've done nothing really, and they're getting more money than you. Then nah, man. Do you know what? I probably wouldn't say anything there, but I'll be going home fuming.
I am so angry. Where is Twitter? Come here.
I'll be fuming, man. Like, but then it's just one of those things, isn't it? Like, the promoter probably was like, you know what? If I put this cash prize, it would draw more people to the club. It'll make people do more effort. Do you know what I mean? They're not thinking about the DJ. I don't know. What do you think? What would you do?
I'll be 100% honest. I'm not going to a club for less money than I'm happy to go for. And by that, I mean, if I've agreed X with the promoter and I'm happy with X from the promoter, I don't care about anything else. Because X is the budget that he said is his DJ budget. And it's exactly like you said. He might have already worked out the night. Okay, you know what? XXX is going to be the grand prize for the best costume. That's how we're going to incentivize people to dress up and make this a good quality night. That's going to be the concert. Like, for me as the DJ, as long as I'm comfortable with X, I don't care, bro. Like, I don't, you can spend XXXXX on free pizza and give it out to everyone. Do you know what I mean? Like, or you can spend 10 times that amount, 10 X's on inflatable stuff to dash out to the crowd. Like, for me, it's like, I'm happy. The reason I'm not bothered about what the cash prize is because I'm happy with the fee
that you've got,
that we've negotiated. Like, okay, in that hypothetical, the fee was less than I would usually go out for because it's a midweek thing, but this is how business goes. That's how negotiations go. I think if you go out for less than you think you should be going out for, and then you're pissed off at the prize because, well, actually that could have been my money. I also think like people in my little made up scenario that I just had, people were going to the club anyway.
Yeah.
People weren't going to, I'm not a headline DJ, so I'm not like, oh, well, if I wasn't there, no one would go. No, bro, like, look at the cash prize. Like, they're going.
They're going, definitely.
They're going. So it's just whether you get booked for them going or not. Do you know what I mean? So I think as DJs, we can't really be mad at promoters giving away cash prizes or expanding it out of the Halloween meme. Spending big money on production and stuff because it's like, it's the whole experience. Yeah. I'm a very big advocate, especially at the moment, of promoters going above and beyond to make the club night an experience. And I don't think, like, although the DJs are an extremely important part, and like, we're the heart of a club night, in my humble opinion, if we stop and leave, everyone else leaves the club eventually. Whereas if you take out any other element of the club, it takes a lot longer for them to leave. Take security away, no one's leaving. It's not as safe. So security, of course, have a purpose, but no one's leaving because there's no security there. Do you know what I mean? Take the bar staff away. Eventually, people will leave, but they're not leaving as quickly as if you take the DJ out. So we are a very, very important part. Do you know what I mean? Don't give inflatables out. No one's going to be like, oh, that was a fucking shit night because I didn't get my inflatable. Like, no one's saying that. However, adding the extra elements is what makes club nights an experience.
Yes.
And not just a place to go to get fucking smashed. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's an actual experience.
Yeah, so there's little things in it because, like, they're the things that people remember. Oh, do you remember when that inflatable came over and you threw it in someone's face? Shit like that. So, something stupid like that. Little tiny experiences. I get what you mean.
Yeah. And I'm a big advocate for it, bro. Like I say, like, and again, yeah, like, I mean, if the promoter's giving out cash prizes, spending three times what he's paying me on production, like, it doesn't bother me because I'm getting paid what I'm happy to get paid.
Yeah,
like, and I don't go out for less than what makes me feel valued. If I feel like I'm undervaluing myself, then yeah, I would be pissed off. Do you know what I mean? If I went out for half of X and the promoter's really like, yeah, sorry, we really can't give you more than this. But that's not on the promoter. That's on me for accepting the job at half of X.
Yeah, you could have just literally said, nah, it's not me.
I'm really sorry. Like financially, it doesn't work. And there's so many ways as well. Like, just to add a side mission to this point, like, for less experienced DJs that find it difficult to turn work down and not sure how to conversate about that, you literally can just make the point of, you don't have to justify why you're not going for that price. You can just say, it's not financially viable. You can just say, that doesn't make sense for me. Like, that's not, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but a lot of lesser experienced DJs just can't do that, innit? They just can't say,
not just they can't say no. I think they feel uncomfortable and feel like they have to justify why they can't do it for that price. Like, you don't have to justify it. You can literally just say, I'm really sorry. But politely, of course. You can just say, I'm really sorry. Like, that's a lot below what I usually go out for. It's not financially viable. I'm sorry.
And the
promoter will say, okay. And then they'll get someone that can.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, oh, okay, well, we really do want you. So what can you move to? And that's how negotiations happen. Do you know what I mean? It's never, like we've said a million times, it's never... or it shouldn't ever be an uncomfortable conversation when it comes to money. Strictly business. Keep it polite. Keep it straight to the point. And I think you'll be flying. I would never be mad. Sorry, go on.
No, I was about to say, this is what people need to hear on the podcast as well. There's a little bit of advice in it because people will hear this and they'll be like, you know what? I can actually have this conversation now, innit?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And again, look, my main point is that if I ever have these conversations where, like, maybe a club can't reach the fee that I've asked for, or they're trying to negotiate, but it's just well below what I'm happy to go for, I'm just very, very polite with it. I'm like, I'm really sorry. Like, that can't work. Like, it's not financially viable. And I don't have to explain, oh, yeah, but look, now I've got ULEZ to pay and there's fuel costs and I have to pay the extra hour for childcare and this and that. And they don't need to know any of that. They don't care. Yeah. Like, they care about, they want you. Will you do it for this price?
Yeah, if you say no, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, just say no, but don't be a dickhead about saying no. Basically, just say no politely. Like, it's just all polite conversation and then it's done. So I have seen, sorry, let me just jump into my notes real quick. I have seen that, and I've actually spoken to a lot of resident DJs recently that, and promoters and club managers, and a lot of people are there across the country. Like, people are saying generally the same thing. And there's a big question at the moment, like, are clubs dying?
Yes.
The end. So, the end. Thanks for listening, guys. It's been a pleasure.
But you know what it is. I was having this conversation the other day, and it could be the cost of living. the being the major thing. Not even because like there are a lot of things that we can get into, but the cost of living, people just are not going out anymore because everything is so expensive. Mm. And it's not like the club entry is expensive or the drinks are expensive. It's like their rent is expensive. They can't even leave the house to go to the club because they're so broke.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, so clubs are dying in that way. And then like, I also think as well, the music is just isn't great enough to go to the clubs these days as well. As in my opinion anyway. Like before, when we were younger, we had funky, garage, Usher, yeah, main set, Turn Me On, Kevin Little, main set, like all them tunes. And they were really like dancey songs. But what are we getting now? If we're talking about our like main, like our normal club, like a student night, say,
mm-hmm.
all the songs are just like, do people go to the club and dance anymore? Do people go to the club and actually have fun, or they just go in there to look good and stand there and sing just a random song? I don't know. My views on this is weird because the music that's being produced now is just a bunch of it's just rubbish. and what I've noticed as well, yeah, I don't know if you've clocked this as well, there's such a divide between the guys and the girls. You play the girls' music and the guys hate it. You play the guys' music, the girls hate it. There's hardly any in between. That's why you don't really see much. Like when I used to go out clubbing, yeah, everyone was grinding at each other.
I'll tell you, you know what I have noticed actually just specifically about that point? Afrobeats is the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So I get you entirely. And I think like, a lot of dancehall music and R&B is what the girls are going for right now. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem to be tailored towards the guys. Like, there's not a lot of guys in the clubs that I'm seeing that are really moving and being moved by that kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
Their kind of music is the Travis Scott's.
Yeah.
A lot of drill, even still. Like, I think drill's massively declining. And the, like, new drill that's coming out isn't really slapping at all. Not UK stuff anyway. So like, we've got the anthems. We've got the 10 big ones that everyone's playing in the sets. But the girls are partying to that less and less. Last year, girls were on it. But this year, I agree. It is like, drill is like the mandem stuff.
Mm.
But I'm just finding Afrobeats doesn't fail. Afrobeats is the bridge, man, in between the girl stuff and the guy stuff. It's the everyone stuff. And don't get me wrong, you've got girly Afrobeats that the girls are onto. Mm. And then you've got like, actually, I don't know if there are any tunes that I play that are just mandem tunes, but Afrobeats. Like, I don't think there are.
It's either like, it's for everyone or just the girls.
Or everyone. But I'm finding a lot more everyone.
Mm.
Like, that, especially the places that I'm playing anyway, and the songs that I'm playing, like, they are the ones where it is just everyone involved. But I mean, it's amazing because when I say everyone, I mean everyone. I mean white people, black people, Asian people, girls, guys, like, everyone in between. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone is getting involved. Whereas previously, dancehall music, unless it was, like, extremely commercial stuff, I used to find that if I was playing more commercial crowds, white people might feel a bit more alienated because they're not into the dancehall culture. They love Egyptian, they love Sarani, they love the old 90s stuff, that's all the big bits, but they didn't know the more up-to-date stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas, but Afrobeats seems to have eradicated that completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because as soon as you drop like something like Last, everyone knows that. Do you know what I mean? And you work your way down the BPM, everyone seems to just know it. But could that be because like TikTok? Because a lot of these tracks are really like,
yeah, yes and no. I would say so. I think Last transcends Afrobeats, I think, completely because of how big it was. That's not even an Afrobeats song anymore. That's just it is, but it isn't. Do you know what I mean? But I'm talking about like, okay, so using City Boys for an example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think City Boys is as big as it is because of TikTok.
Yeah.
But it was already running up numbers. It was already like, as soon as the album dropped, that was the standout single. Mm-hmm. And I think because he uses the Birthday Sex sample, that makes it familiar to the people that don't necessarily listen to Afrobeats mm-hmm. all the time. But TikTok 100% definitely helped, because obviously people started doing the dance to it, and then people are using it even on Instagram just for their reels, not dancing to it, just highlight reels. It was the trending song. On reel, everything. So that definitely helped. But then there's other Afrobeats tunes which I don't really see get rinsed on like social media, not like that, not to those levels, but they still do very well in the club.
Yeah, like for example, for me, I think Soundgasm works in the club, but you don't really see that on like socials that much, to me anyway, I don't think.
I think when that one dropped, that was another one that people would use a lot for their reels. Mm. It was like one of the trending sounds. They weren't doing dances to it, not from what I saw, but it was one of them ones where people were using it for like their little holiday reels. Do you know what I mean? There's the beach, there's the hotel, there's me swimming, there's me drinking, there's the little boomerang chink of glasses, and that like over the top. Soundgasm definitely was one of them. I think a lot of Rima's stuff, like Calm Down, got big, but then obviously what made that bigger was what's her name? Selena Gomez went on it, isn't it?
Well, so the remix, yeah.
I think that opened it up to new audiences. And for some reason, I'll be honest here, I don't really know who Selena Gomez is. I don't really stay in touch with like celebrity life and all this influencer stuff. And saying that, people might laugh. She might be like some massive person in whatever she does. I don't really know who she is. But her being on Calm Down seemed to open it up, not just to whoever her audience is, but like commercially.
Commercially, yeah.
You can drop that in what people would call an open format club. Without alienating anyone, without being like, oh, I'm playing too much Afrobeats, like the non-Afrobeats crowd don't like it. Do you know what I mean? So like songs like that bridge the gap, because then there's other songs in that tempo you can get to. The French World Cup song, I was just about to say the title, but I'm not going to embarrass myself.
Do you know what?
It's funny because I can only say it properly if I sing it, and I'm not going to do that.
I can never remember the name of it. I just always know it's at the bottom of the list, because it's like, well, it's around about, it's like 113 BPM in it or something like that. It's always around there. So I never remember the name, but I always know where to go in my music library.
Yeah. Is it 113? I swear it was a 108.
113.
I've got to check this now.
Hang on.
But actually,
what was the name of it?
Right. It's by Veja Dream. It's called... Hang on, let me sing it in my head and then I can say it out loud. Ramina coupe à la maison. Allez, le blé, allez. Sorry.
Hang on, what's that? That's 132.
Kylian Mbappe. Kylian Mbappe.
Hang on, I see 108 here. Unless my my beat grid is off. But then again, I say that.
Did you say 108,
because I'm just looking on Google right now. I haven't even got my music library up, but I'm seeing 132. I need to go into my
I'm getting the answer, don't worry.
My beat grid on Sarai might be a bit off then. I'm sure it's 113.
Tense moments for everyone listening while they wait, and there's actually like 50 DJs screaming at the podcast right now. It's a fucking... Yeah, so 108, it's 108 BPM.
My beat grid's off.
I'm never ever letting you question my knowledge of BPMs again. you made me question myself. I thought it was 108. Yes, it's 108 BPM. Why did we even look at that? Oh yeah, so what it's around. That's but even like bait ones like Drogba and let me think of another one. Peru
Drogba, yeah.
These are all songs that have bridged the gap between like the Afrobeats genre and the mainstream crowd in the UK. They're all songs that everyone can get down to. So I quite like, but I agree with you, there definitely is a divide.
Yeah, so like honestly, like you'll drop like Cardi B up, and you'll see the guy's faces just drop. And you're like, I'm like, like it's mad, but it is because there's girly songs are for I sound stupid in it, but it's like the man them just cut. They feel like they just can't sing to it or they can't dance to it. Like
you
I
know
get.
I think you know what it is as well. It's because if you're playing a girly song, generally, like you might want girls to dance to it. But a lot of these, like these US rap girly songs, the ratchet ones, bruv, they're aggressive, man.
Yeah.
But you can't catch a wine. You can't have like a sexy little wine with a girl. With ski, ski. Girls have got gun fingers and shit. Like, brother, are we gonna dance or are we gonna fight, man? I'm not sure. Like,
yeah, you say that as well, and like that don't play with it tune as well, innit? Like,
I actually, yeah. Just... That song is rough as fuck. But I actually do like that song. To be fair, that's one of the few US rap songs by a girl that I actually like at the moment.
No, I enjoy that, but like you said, it's just aggressive now, isn't it? Like, it's yeah.
No, that is one like when man. when I drop that in the club, that is one like the gun fingers come out. Every single girl, there's gun fingers and screw faces. That's like it's like the Bobby Shmurda song, but the girl version.
Yeah, man, it's mad. That's skeet. Do you know what? But do you know what? You can't hate on that tune. Like, someone was like, I can't remember who said it. It was on Twitter, like, oh, Drake's not making enough tunes for the clubs or something like that. I'm like, but Sexy Raiden. So, yeah, I think they were comparing Sexy Raiden flipping Drake or whatever. I'm just like, yeah, but, and how Drake's not putting enough club tracks out and how Ski and all that, that's all topping it. I was like, but you can't hate, man. It works, man. Like, yeah, there's a lot of DJs that hate Ski. They hate like that Sexy Raiden Drake tune. But it works.
Rich Baby Daddy.
Everyone just loves it, man. And like,
I don't mind Rich Baby Daddy. You know what? I'm going to say this. Like, Sexy Red is good for a hook. Right now, like, a cool little hook. But bro, who the fuck is engineering her music? Because I hear the verse on the song and it's like she just... It's like there was no instrumental when she recorded it and they just slapped it on anything and didn't put it in time. Like, it is so out of... Like, it's... Oh, she makes horrible music.
Yeah.
Horrible music. Like, but...
It works.
The beats and the choruses work in the club. I actually, this year, have broken my fundamental rule of playing songs that I don't like. Because I don't like Sexy Red. But I do recognize that I'm actually catering to an audience. And when we're in a climate, just to get back to the topic, when we're in a climate of the clubs are declining anyway, I'm not trying to be that guy who's out of touch. Do you know what I mean? I'm not trying to be the guy who's like, oh yeah, well, he doesn't play all the bangers anymore. So da da da. Like, I understand, like, I do have to evolve with it as the scene evolves. And this is just a short moment. In time, it's a short, Sexy Red, like, this time next year, no one's going to give a shit anymore. Do you know what I mean? By next summer, no one's playing these songs. So it's cool.
Ski's going to be around forever, man.
No way. Not in my section. I'll tell you what I'll compare it to, yeah? Do you remember that song? Hopped out the post, and na 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 na. What was it?
T-Wayne. Wayne, yeah.
Was that even the words?
Nasty freestyle.
Nasty freestyle. What was that? Yeah, it was that harped out the... Oh, yeah.
First, we'll go... let me harp out the motherfucking pause.
Yes, that's the one. That's it. Right, that song, yeah? There was a moment where it was one of the biggest rap songs in the club. It would go off for that was 20 seconds.
What was that? What app was that?
Let me hop out the motherfucking boys. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. No one cares. Next song.
Yeah, it's Vine, isn't it? Is it Vine that blew up from?
On the Vine days, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
The original TikTok.
Bloody hell, man.
Vine. But yeah, so that, see where that song is now? That's where Sexy Red's going to be next year. Like, in the bin. No, unless she starts pulling out some absolute monstrous talent and it was all just like... smoke and mirrors, all this weird ratchet shit. Like, if she starts barring and does it on time, she might have a chance. But if not, Brother, I think this time next year people are going to get bored because she's shit. I'll play her songs, but I do like a 45 or so second medley of her choruses, and then I'm out, and then that's the sexy red portion done.
Yeah.
Right, looking for the hoes, ski ye, pound town. They might as well be one song for the length of time that I'm playing them. I am going in like a dancehall selector, bro. Like, zoop, 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 done. Yeah. Sexy Red's done for the day. The girls have had their moment. Sexy Red's, the tracks have gone blue now. I'm not playing them again. Do you know what I mean? But
Pound Town, what a track that is as well, isn't it?
But again, it's another thing where it's like a viral moment. And it went viral because it's shit and she's saying some random mad stuff. But then it translates to the club. It's so weird that these viral moments are creating a demand in the club. But I mean, it's like, it is what it is, but it's just weird to me.
Yeah, like, yeah, we're just going for it. Hopefully this is just a phase, in it. But then again, you say that TikTok's going to be around for a long time. So
yeah, of course. Our clubs, TikTok might outlast the clubs. TikTok's going to be there hammering in the last nail of the coffin in the clubs. When Drake's just going to burp into the mic and people are going to be requesting it in the club. Can you play that new Drake burp? Right.
Oh, God.
But I think, you know, I do think cost of living, you said cost of living crisis is one of the things, right? I think for the older audience, I would agree. The people that have moved out of their mum and dads and the people that do have their day-to-day commitments and all of this stuff and their rent to pay and they're paying their own food bills. But that doesn't explain why like the 18 to 24 year olds are coming out less and less.
Yeah, students, isn't it? You got this, the universities, because the university students, yeah, they're obviously they're getting their, what's it called, their grants student and their loans. Yeah. Yeah, but the rent, I don't think the student loans are matching up with the new rent that they're getting in their student accommodations and stuff like that. Because obviously the landlords aren't part of the uni, are they? They're just landlords. So
as far as I know, it's not like they're not part of the university. No, I don't think so. Mm.
So like first years, yeah, like do you have to pay for is it halls? Do you have to pay for halls?
I never went to uni, bro, so I have no idea, you know. I imagine you did. No one in life is giving away free accommodation. No way.
Yeah, so halls, so first year halls, that might be set, but like, so you get your loan and that could match up. But when you go into second year, third year, fourth year, when you gotta go get a house and stuff like that, that's when they're gonna start feeling the cost of living crisis. But it's like the first years will always go out. You're going to see all the fresh 18 year olds out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then not everyone else is coming out. Second years, third years, and fourth years are not coming out because everything is so expensive. Food's expensive. So food's expensive, rent's expensive. So they're not all going to the clubs because they're like, it's just too expensive to go out. Do you get it? And then like, and as well, like they're probably thinking about exams. They're getting a lot more serious now, isn't it? They're like, oh, because people are like, oh, you need to have a good full-time job when you leave uni. You can't be partying, do this, do that. So I feel like people are getting, like, all these social media influencers are just getting into their head a bit more, maybe. You need to stop partying. You need to stop doing this and stop drinking. Go out and make money, da, 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 da. Like, I don't know. I think it could be social media that is just messing them up. They're stopping them from going out. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. Did you think like, yeah, I think maybe like the prospects and like the cost of university and stuff makes them more serious about it. Mm. Yeah, maybe that's it. And they're kind of like realizing, actually, you know what, this is a very expensive investment. So let me actually take it seriously. Whereas previously it wasn't so costly. So people were like, fuck it. Three more years with no proper adult life. Let's get turned up.
The thing is though, like clubs aren't doing, like when I used to go out and stuff like that, there used to be like £1 Jaeger bombs.
Yeah, like, yeah,
that was inviting. That was something to come to the club for. Like you go to like in a student town, you might go to a Yates, yeah? And, you got, and they're like £1 Jaeger bombs. But now Jaeger bombs are flipping like £3-4.
Right, yeah.
It's so expensive. So like things like that, all the drinks deals are gone, like 99p VKs, that's all gone. Yeah, I don't see that no more. You know what I mean? Like
99p VKs, yeah, just, crazy.
Because I remember going out to like Liquid Windsor and having 5 VKs in all my fingers, just holding them. Because obviously you get there early, and you're like, oh, if we don't get all the drinks now, flipping the crowds, it's gonna get busy and the queue's gonna get bar. Yeah. So if you get there early, first of all, you got free entry.
Mm.
Get all your VKs. You spend like £4.96 on 5 VKs, and then you're carrying around these drinks in your fingers, man. Like, and all the pints used to be cheaper, but now everything's just so expensive. So people are just like, what's the point of going out? I think they'd rather not go out every week, but they'd save up for one big occasion, like someone's birthday, or if there's like an act on. Otherwise, they're like, I can't be bothered. Because you notice that when there's an act on, a lot more people come out. But then as soon as there's no acts there.
Yeah, you say that, but I think I think a lot of the acts that are getting booked for clubs at the moment are the wrong ones. And I think as well, because the reason I'm saying that is clubs, from what I'm seeing, and generalizing, of course, but clubs are either picking older artists that are a lot cheaper to book now, but were someone, so they have a name, but they're not necessarily popping right now. So they can get them for like £4-5 grand. That's cheap these days for a UK artist. £3-5 grand, whatever. But they're not like popping. They're just, I don't want to say has-beens because it's rude, but do you know what I mean? Like they've established themselves, but right now they're not trending artists. So they have the catalog, but they're not out there. Clubs are doing that because they want someone certified, but they don't want to pay the big money. So they're going with someone who's maybe looking for a bit of work, or they're spending a bit more money and getting someone who's bang on it, but online. And they'll see a rapper or an artist or someone do something that gets 5 million views. Okay, 6. So this person's popping, 5 million views, boom. What they're not looking at is where did that 5 million views even come from?
Mm-hmm.
Because, bro, there's 13-year-olds right now consuming UK rap.
Yeah.
Or even bringing it outside of UK rap, because this isn't even a UK rap problem. This is a clubbing problem. Like, there's young people that are into these artists or these streamers or whoever's releasing certain songs. There's a young audience. They're not just a UK-based audience either. So you're looking at a UK-based person getting 5 million views in the first month and thinking, okay, cool, this person is in demand. Well, actually, they're not. Their content is in demand and their content lives online. You're not selling out your club based off of that person coming to this area, because 4 million of those views were under 18-year-olds and now they can't even come to your club.
Can't go to club. Yeah,
do you know what I mean? And it's, I think that's a common mistake that agents and clubs are making for these bookings. Is it's like, yeah, this person's probably, it's metrics based when it shouldn't be metric based. They're overlooking, again, they're overlooking the actual experience of the night. I could name you artists with 100,000 views that would outperform the 5 million views people, and you'd have a better night with that person. Do you know what I mean? I could name you hosts, literally just MCs that you could book for your club for a fraction of the fee of a trending artist. And that host will have the whole night jumping. So much fun. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's stuff like this. Like, clubs are cutting back on, when they've got just a DJ, there was a lot of clubs, especially if they had like bigger rooms with stages, a lot of clubs would have the DJ and they would book a host. And the host is always someone confident enough and friendly enough to get everyone involved, even from the early hours. Shouts to Ibs. Ibs is one of the best hosts alive. And when me and him used to do shows together, even though I confidently used the mic, the nights were better when he used the mic. Because he's out there. He's on a wireless mic, bro. He's out in the crowd. Even early on, he's just dotting about, like just chatting to people on the mic, but talking to them, just vibes in. And like, it creates a whole experience rather than just we're in a room and there's someone just playing loud music.
Yeah.
Now we're engaged. Now we're part of it. Like, these are things that I think would fix part of the problem. It's not an overnight solution.
Yeah, I think.
But it fixes part of the problem. But again, like, clubs now, we're in a downward spiral, I think, in club land, because clubs are afraid to spend the money because they're not making the money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they're frightened of, okay, well, cool. Well, now we pay a couple hundred extra on the night for a host. But actually, it hasn't brought any more people yet. They want instant results. Nah, you've got to give it 90 days, bro. Give it 3 months to see the results. Do you know what I mean?
I think a host is important, man, because like the attention span of people is so shit these days. You need someone to constantly keep them on.
100%. Madly, if it was the DJ's responsibility to get the host, so if I just decided, yeah, you know what? I think what will make clubs better is a host. So every time I DJ somewhere now, I'm getting a host. I'm going to bring a host with me. That's my responsibility to pay them. The clubs aren't going to pay extra because there's a host. And this is another problem, because now it's like, well, a lot of resident DJs, we've already discussed this, they're on less than minimum wage for DJs anyway. So now paying a host, like, who's even making money at this point?
Yeah, no one's making money at all.
You know what I mean? The clubs are making money because you're improving there. So like, it's one of the things where it is a team effort to make these nights better. But it does begin with the clubs. I honestly think the clubs need to reinvest into making an experience. Because you look at as well, so bringing it back to TikTok, yeah? Do you know what I see a lot on, I don't even really use TikTok, so I'm going to say Instagram, but TikTok, because people post their TikToks on Instagram. And you'll see people being like, oh, here's this secret bar that I found in London. And then they're walking into a room. Have you seen this one? They walk into a laundrette and climb through a washing machine, and now they're in a bar.
What?
Bro, honestly, yeah, this is one I saw, no bullshit. It's the front of it. If you didn't know it was there, it's a laundrette. And you have to go to a specific washing machine, open the washing machine and climb through the washing machine, and it's a secret bar. What the fuck? And it's not a secret anymore because it's on TikTok, so people know. But that's an experience, bro. I want to go to London and climb into a washing machine and drink. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to clip that sentence out and post it on. But that's an experience. And that, I'm not even a big drinker like that, yeah, but that makes me excited to go and find this place and climb through a washing machine into this secret bar that everyone else in there is cool because we've all found the secret washing machine that you can get drunk in. And like, or do you want to just go to the same old club that everyone else is going to on Friday because it's the same old DJ that everyone's hearing? And most resident DJs at the moment, in my opinion, are fed up of playing the same places, but they're too afraid to leave because of the financial implications of leaving a residency. So now we're stuck in this downward spiral of depressed DJs that aren't exciting in the normal club with no other added production. There might be a smoke machine if you're lucky. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, bruv, what's exciting about going clubbing now?
Yeah.
Tell me one thing that's exciting. When actually, you know what? There's 500 festivals last summer that I could have gone and seen any single one of the celebrities that I love.
Yeah. And like, and do you know what it is as well? Like brunches are even more exciting now these days as well, isn't it? Like brunches and like you said, the bars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like people just rather go to that than a smelly old club.
I think brunches have captivated the older audience.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say like the 25, 26 and above, even up to like mid late 30s, because that's the audience that love to go clubbing still. They love to party. They've got dispensable money for the most part because they're all in solid jobs. Mm-hmm. It's always a weekend, so they're not having to work. Mm-hmm. If they've got kids are at the grandparents or whatever. But do you know the best thing about a brunch for that demographic?
Go on.
It's done by 9 p.m., bro.
Yeah.
9 p.m. Yeah. Like, bro, we're talking about that demographic of people who work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. They've had their clubbing days when they were 18 to 24. They don't want to be out until 5 o'clock in the morning. Come 11 o'clock, these people are tired, man. They've got children.
Facts,
me and you both have children. You know how tired it is by 11 o'clock. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I could swap all of the clubs for brunches right now, I would. Because if I'm at home by 11 o'clock, that's ideal. And I'm a DJ. I love doing this shit. So let's think about the people that are out partying and getting drunk.
Yeah,
that demographic of people, brunches, that's taken them.
The brunches are so much more exciting as well, because like these people don't come out all the time, innit? So yeah. when they're out and they want to enjoy themselves. Because they haven't been out for like months, or they come out with all their mum friends that they, or their friends that they haven't seen in a couple months or whatever. So they're coming out having a great time.
Yeah,
they're having a break from the kids, their husband, their whatever. They're going out and enjoying themselves. So it's much better to play to them.
Yeah.
And also because it's an older crowd, like you said, the music, I prefer to play older music. So they appreciate it more. And I'm enjoying my sets a lot more than I'd rather play Usher, You Remind Me, to that kind of crowd and they love it, than me playing Ski in the club. do you know what I mean?
So, say it louder for the people at the back, please. I am 100% with you there. 100%. Mm. Events like all of the events that we've named in the past. I know you're a big fan of Chucky's event. I won't pull you up on that, don't worry. We all saw it, bro. Don't worry. But no, it's those type of moments, man. Like, it is good vibes, good music, people singing their hearts out. They're having a great time. There's little or no trouble.
Yeah.
And it's finished by 9 p.m.
Yeah, it's all done.
And it's vibes. And it's just been a great day. Do you know what I mean? And it's those kind of events. That's where that crowd's gone. Whereas, like, what's happening with the clubs now? Clubs are declining. The production's not there. The music quality's not there. For the most part, the DJ quality is not there. Do you know what I mean? And it's just like, it's a big melting point. It's like a perfect storm of shitness. That is just, all of it's adding to clubs declining, I think. And yeah, cost of living plays a part of it. I think the excitement of everyone coming out after lockdown has completely worn off now. Like, there's so many different factors that it's just...
Yeah, it was.
I don't know. Clubs are struggling. But I do think, the way to not struggle anymore, and this is the thing, I think it's the question that the clubs don't know what to do now. Mm. I think a couple of solutions, and I'm going to say it because I'm biased, because of course I'm biased, and I'm an advocate for DJs getting paid a lot more than what is available for DJs right now. But I think spending money on your entertainment and your production, just weekly money, not, okay, let's drop 10 bags on just getting whatever DJ so everyone comes once and now the rest of the other 3 weeks of the month we're quiet. I think it's reinvest in your foundation entertainment. Mm-hmm. And do you know what one solution I think would work? Would be great. Bring back the clubs that have two DJs on.
Yeah.
But pay them correctly. Don't just give one DJ fee and say, okay, you got a half it.
Half it, yeah.
Like, just...
Yeah.
Okay, so on average, yeah, I think clubs generally pay about $250 for a club night for a DJ. Mm-hmm. On average for a resident, yeah. That's what most people in the country, residents, are getting. Up it to $400. Mm-hmm. Split it between two DJs. Now you're making two bills each, but you're only doing half the night each, mm-hmm. right? Also, add a host in there. Add a host in there as well.
Yeah,
I don't really know I don't know what a resident host would charge, but... And sorry if I'm insulting anyone here. Let's just say chuck them a wanna. Mm. They're going to do 2 or 3 hours of hosting. I'm just saying for a resident host. Like, so that's £500 is your entertainment bill, which I think is the minimum, right? And this is for a club that now needs to start bringing people in. Not a successful club. Mm-hmm. So now you've got two DJs. So here's how you do it as the DJs. Obviously, you're going to be mates. And if every DJ I've ever had this scenario with or gone back to back with, if we're not friends, we are afterwards. Do you know what I mean? Like, you bond over that shit and like you become friends with DJs that you cross paths with and DJ with on a regular basis. You become friends. So now straight away, like, just as another side mission for DJs, now it's not a lonely job anymore. Now I've got someone to bounce off in the booth. And I know personally, I bounce off people better when I'm surrounded by DJs or like-minded people in the booth. Bro, my performance is better because I'm dropping a song and I'm gassed about it. And you know what? This guy next to me is gassed about it as well. And we're gassed together. And his gas gasses me more and I gas him more. And then it's just gas everywhere. Do you know what I mean? Like, and everyone's gassed. And it just, but it adds to the energy of the entertainment. Rather than just the tired resident DJ that doesn't want to be there anymore but can't leave and they're doing the whole thing the whole night themselves. But what the two DJs can do is take it in turns. Cool. This week I'll do warm up, you do main. Next week you do warm up, I'll do main. Because you've still got the two DJs and every single week is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to inspire each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then this week's DJ, when he's playing the main set, he's going to drop a song that's brand new. And you're going to see how everyone reacts, and it's going to inspire you to do something different and better next Friday. Do you know what I mean? Meanwhile, the host is doing fucking backflips right now because he's got two DJs. Two DJs are bouncing off each other. This is the best time. Everyone's having the best time. The host is buzzing. Everyone's do you know what I mean? And it's just like, that's something that is such a simple change.
Mm-hmm.
Clubs aren't doing it. Oh, we can't afford it, man. Like, the numbers are down. We can't afford to spend more on DJs. Cool. Okay. That's the heartbeat of the club there, bro. Mm. You're not looking after your heart. You're going to die.
Yeah, facts. But you know what? Even if the club did say, yeah, we're going to bring in another DJ, but we've got... So you said, we're going to bring in another DJ. Do you reckon the other DJ would be happy with that? I know you said they've got to be friends, but say, for example, they like turn around and like, we want to make a change. So we're going to not half your money, but we've got to cut your money a little bit. I know we're halving your time you're playing, but are all DJs going to be happy with that?
No, not all DJs are going to be happy with that, but they're the guys that are the financially focused ones. Yeah. And I get it. Everyone has to make money, but for the sake of my calculation, if £50 less, and you're doing half the night on an hourly rate, you're earning more money.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it makes sense. Okay, cool. On a weekly basis, you're making less money. But you know what else it actually offers up the opportunity? It offers up the opportunity that one week I want to go on holiday.
Yeah.
And now I'm just going to say, look, next week, or let's just say like in 2 months' time, I'm going to book a holiday. Can you cover the whole night for me? You take all the money for the night, just that 1 week, and you know the night's safe because that DJ is... One problem I have is if I am to get someone to cover because I'm touring or whatever, I have to use the same consistent people that have been in the venue before.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you don't know the formula of the night, you could easily fuck it up in one night.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't trust you, you could easily just approach the manager and be like, oh, cool, you know what? I could do this more often. Like, if you want to pay me less, I'll come and do it. Do you know what I mean? So it's so many more problems for DJs are eradicated, but that's not even the conversation. That's just the side missions that are completed. Do you know what I mean? It is. It really is. Like, you have a friend, you're not as lonely. You have someone else that you can actually bounce your ideas off. Someone that you can perform with. If you want to, you don't have to split the night in half. You could do half hours each and it keeps it moving. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many ways you could work it out. But then if you want to go on holiday or if you feel ill, there is someone who is always there who's just like, yeah, cool, I'll cover the whole night.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's these things, bro. Like, there's so many beneficial factors. The only factor that is a negative in this is that the clubs will have to invest more money. But it's investing more money in entertainment.
Yeah, for it.
That's the fucking reason they exist.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, invest more money in entertainment. If you have to, put one drink price up 20p.
Yeah.
That over, do you know what I mean? Those 99p VKs, make them £1.20. Do you know what I mean? I'm so not ready to do the maths on how many would have to. But.
I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, man, I think that's one of the solutions for clubs that feel like they're dying, clubs that need to do more. Like, focus less on your Instagram following. Still use the Instagram following, but focus less on trying to go viral on Instagram and more on your local market. Like, who's going to come? Like, boom, you got two DJs in there. That's two excited people that are going to promote it for you.
Yeah.
The marketing and reach that you will get just off of having two DJs involved on the same night will be more valuable than the money that you're spending on extra entertainment. And the host as well. Bruv, the hosts are usually the most popular guy anyway.
Yeah.
They're the extroverts. DJs are introverts. The hosts are the extroverts. They're out, they're chatting to people all the time. They're the popular guys.
Mm.
If they're saying, yeah, come Friday, it's going to be sick, boom, 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 boom. Then they make it sick. Then the next week, people are back again. Do you know what I mean? It means it's creating a whole experience.
Yeah, but yeah, so the thing is, the clubs are not thinking long-term in it. They're thinking, oh, we got to spend this money now, it's not going to work. But like over the period of time, like you said, 90 days, it could actually work and be a lot better.
Yeah.
But
100%.
I guess the DJ is going to have to approach the clubs and be like, so we have this idea that we got from the Talkover podcast.
double said, and that's it. I'm never getting booked anywhere else ever again. I mean, it is a tricky one because, like, on the flip side, clubs are businesses.
Yeah.
For the most part, the owners or the people whose money it actually is probably don't care how good the experience is. They care about what the spreadsheet looks like.
Yeah, facts.
Is the spreadsheet green? Is the spreadsheet red? The spreadsheet's red. Okay, the spreadsheet's red. That does not mean spend more money.
More money.
That means charge more money. But this is the problem. Charge more money for what? You're not giving them anything more.
Mm. If anything, charging more money might push more people away.
Exactly.
See, the drink prices or the ticket prices are too expensive like that. Now we'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Because I walked into your club, it cost me £8 to get in instead of £5. Well, now I'm feeling that's nearly double. Even though it's £8, I'm feeling funny about it because it's £3 more. That's one of the drinks that I could have bought. I spent the whole night out, I've spent £50, and the place wasn't even that busy anyway, and it wasn't great. Whereas last week, I climbed through a washing machine into a bar. That same £50, I had a great night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's like creating experiences for people. I think that's how we fix the problem in clubs. But it's not down to one DJ by himself or herself.
Yeah. It's a collective effort, isn't it? So
I think that's the solution.
Maybe you found a solution.
Maybe I have found a solution, but how do I implement it to get us all paid more? That's the question. That's not the motivation behind this conversation, by the way. That's another conversation. But I do think quality of DJs is part of the reason that Clubland is dying. But like I said, it's a perfect storm of bad things, basically. Like I've said for a long time, like, quality of DJs is, the bar is very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at content. Actually, we're going to bring this up next week, but I'm looking at certain types of content. I'm like, why is that even posted? Furthermore, why the fuck is that being celebrated?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
God,
and it's like, it's one of them ones where I'm like, that's what you're posting online. And that must be what you're doing in the club, but it's not even great.
Nah, so you know what? You say that online, they practice that over and over and over. Right, so the quality is going to be a little bit better than the club. So you got to think of what the club would be. They're in a live situation and they can't run it back. You got to think how they're running this in the club.
Yeah.
If you've gone onto Instagram, you've seen something that you think's terrible. They've done that 6-7 takes.
Yeah.
In the club, they ain't got those takes, mate.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. That's a DJ opinion on things, to be honest, because like we said before, like, civilians don't care how technical you are, unless you are physically playing two songs at different BPMs at the same time for prolonged periods, or you're doing something like, you know, that viral video where it goes from Last to,
Pop Smoke,
Dior,
yeah.
And it's running Dior at like 91 BPM or something like that. People notice that stuff. But even then, I bet that didn't clear the club. And I bet some people were, in fact, in the video, some people still reacted to it and were still dancing.
Yeah, they heard Pop Smoke go.
Reap, reap. Woo, woo. She loved the riddle dab. She loved the riddle. It's like a house remix.
That's literally the DJ. He had sync on and he forgot to turn it off. And he's scrambling, trying to press the master tempo button again to turn it back to 70.
I don't even think that's the case. I think you're right about sync, but I don't think he tried to turn it off. I think that was someone who just didn't see a problem with running Pop Smoke at 92 BPM.
Mate, 92, nah, mate. That's too much of a big jump. 20 beep, nah. No, absolutely.
Oh, my word. But, yeah, I think clubs are in trouble at the moment. I think the quality of entertainment has declined below where the bar should be for a night out. The cost of it versus the cost of everything else in life is too much for what you are getting. Mm. And like I said, I think the solution is for clubs to invest more on their weekly entertainment.
Yeah.
Not the big, like the big, big artists. They're going to fix your problem for one night only.
Yeah, I think this is the problem, isn't it? They're like, oh, let's get this artist in. Oh my God, it was so busy. Our night's back up. Next week, dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. Do you think is there any other ways that clubs can get back from like the brink of death? Is there any other methods? Other than the obvious ones about doing like ladies free before 12 or free drinks before here and stuff like that. Do you think there's like...
I don't know, you know. I really think everything's just a bit fucked up at the moment. Like, yeah. I don't even... Like, there's a lot... There's not... I don't even think ladies free before the club would even incentivize people come. Like, I don't know, man. Or, like, cheap drinks. Like, if you turn around and just be like, oh, yeah, VKs are now £1 again. I don't even know if that'll pull people back in now. I just genuinely don't... I just think people just don't care about going out. Because the thing is, they've got... You don't have to go to the club to meet people, to your dating apps now. Like, as in, if you want to try and find a girlfriend or something, you don't need to go to a club. You can just go on dating apps. You don't need to go to a club to get entertainment because you have TikTok, Facebook.
Yeah.
No one has the need to go out anymore because all the entertainment comes in from staying in. Like, some people would rather literally sit in and watch this binge series of Netflix on a Saturday night than go out because it's cheaper. Like, you're paying $15.99 for Netflix now, yeah, a month. That's a lot cheaper than going out and spending £50-60 on what? To be hungover the next day.
Yeah, I paid £7 for my Netflix, but yeah, go on.
Seven? How?
I don't even have the HD one. I just have one screen.
Oh, man.
And I only ever watch Netflix on my phone, innit? So.
No, so yeah, see, I've got the four screen ones. There's like six accounts on it. Yeah, bad. $15.99. But the thing is, I know we're gonna go off topic, but I can't watch. This is gonna sound bougie of me, but I can't watch the lower quality. You know, I think it's like if you pay the cheaper one, you only got HD. But if you pay the more expensive one, you get the 4K quality.
That's it.
I can't go back to the HD. Once you got that 4K and you go back, it's long.
See, I never done the 4K one. I've just got HD. It looks perfectly fine. And no, I do actually watch it at home sometimes. Yeah, I watch stuff with Roman and whatnot. But like, yeah, I don't watch it loads, but I don't notice the difference. It doesn't bother me.
For me, I don't really watch Netflix that much. It's more the YouTube. I'm just on YouTube. And that's, I pay for it now because I've got YouTube Premium. But
lend me a fiver.
Mate. Do you know what?
Because you spend it on YouTube and Netflix.
But the thing is, with YouTube Premium, if you come off YouTube Premium now, you got to go back to watching ads.
Yeah. Which is long.
Yeah, mate. It's like if I go to someone's house, yeah, and I go on YouTube and I see an ad, I'm like, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. And I'll let you into a secret. Because of how I listen to music and because I only ever use Spotify in the gym, I don't pay for Spotify. So like every three songs I have an ad. But I don't use it anywhere else other than the gym. So that's why I'm just like, no, I don't need to pay for this. There's no need.
Yeah, I do. I get you. I'm paying for YouTube Premium. YouTube Music is part of YouTube Premium, actually. So I've got that and Spotify. I don't know why. I need to get rid of one. Well, I'm going to have to get rid of Spotify because I can't get rid of YouTube Premium. I can't do it.
Yeah. I hear you. So just to round off, actually, while we're talking about ads, there's something that we do on the podcast now where we big up and shout out like a random business that is run by a DJ. It doesn't even have to be music related. If you're a DJ and you have any kind of business, at TalkOverPod on Instagram, just drop a DM and just put like three sentences in there of what your business is and the handle so that we can give you a shout out. This week, I want to big up Jamal Graham. He's got a recording studio based in Newcastle. I'm saying this one because I played in Newcastle recently as absolute shellers. I know CB was there this week as well. Yeah. And Newcastle is one of the hubs for like great DJs in the country. Like if you've never been on a night out in Newcastle, take the time and go for it because it is actually sick. Even though majority of them moved to Dubai, but the ones that are left are still very sick guys. back to the point, Purple Rooms Studios, that's Purple Rooms with a Z, Studios is the Instagram handle. It's a recording studio in Newcastle. They do recording sessions, DJ workshops, production workshops, mix and masters, and they even do music videos as well. So even though they're saying music videos, I'm pretty sure that probably translates and can evolve into like DJ music videos, etc., content and whatnot. So Purple Room Studios, give them a look up if you're in the north, and check them guys out, because they asked me to say it, so I said I'd say it, because that's what we're doing, that's what I'm doing. We want to support businesses that are run by DJs. So yeah, like I said, hit us up in the DMs if you run a business and you want us to big it up on the pod. That is this week's Purple Rooms Studios. Big ups to Jamal. That's it for this week, because we could go on more about how clubs are dying, but to be honest, I feel a little bit depressed now. We've been talking about it for ages. So yeah, loads more going on with the pod as well. Make sure you follow us on TikTok, on Instagram, on Twitter, all of that stuff to stay in touch. DJ Double, DJ CB, at Talkover Pod, and we're out of here.
Peace.